bless you.
Radio.
bless you. And thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Builders Internet Radio. We are where we are blessed to be a blessing. This is Sybil Peoples from Mending God's People Ministries. And I'd like to give you a little bit more information about Mending God's Ministries. We are a ministry designed and destined to fulfill God's purpose in helping those who are hurt and wounded and in need of truth concerning their walk and relationship with other members in the body of Christ. I have with me Elder Melvin G. Peoples. Welcome, Elder.
Praise the Lord to everyone. We thank God for being here. As always, I say it is of the Lord's mercy that we have not been consumed, because his compassions fail not and they are renewed each morning. And great is thy faithfulness.
Praise the Lord. I would like to encourage all listeners to be a blessing to KBI. And you can call this number, 312-574-0212, or the website kingdombuildersplaza.com. Or if you choose to email kingdombuildersinternational@gmail.com with a PayPal account. God bless you. It is always, always a blessing to be able to bless the kingdom of God. Kingdom Builders International is good ground to sow in. The slogan, where we are blessed to be a blessing, you understand that as you bless the kingdom and God's work, he is and will return that blessing. Okay, well, we're going to get started today's program. The title or theme of today's topic is I Please God. I know that sounds, and it, I know it hits your soul as being pretty audacious or arrogant even in its sense, to be able to stand square-footed and make that declaration, I please God. I take this stand from a Bible patriarch, Enoch. And Enoch is found in Genesis 5:21, and it's also mentioned a second time in Hebrews 11:5, if I'm correct. And there we understand and we read, well, as a matter of fact, let's read this case in Hebrews. Let's start with that in Hebrews. Melvin, did you have it, or did you want me to read it? Oh, okay. Which version do you have? I prefer to read the King James Version. Okay. Let's go here, and we're going to look deeper into Enoch's confession and how he came about in the word quoted as he pleased God. So, and it reads in the King James Version, and the 11th chapter of Hebrews is considered the Hall of Fame, where so many patriarchs in the Bible were quoted and listed here because of their extraordinary stand in faith. And Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Now, this is what Enoch quoted. he pleased God. Very, very interesting. Elder Peoples, I'd like to hear your thoughts or if you have any comments about this scripture, the 11th chapter, the fifth verse.
And thank you very much, Sister Sybil. The fact that the scripture says that Enoch walked with God and that he pleased God is a very powerful testimony. In the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 5 and verse number 23, it says, Enoch walked with God. Oftentimes when we study the scriptures, we sometimes confine our focus to the various testaments, whether it's Old and New Testament passages. But the principle remains the same in walking with God. The Bible says, Enoch walked with God. The New Testament teaches us, blessed is the man, rather should I say the psalmist, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate day and night. Enoch's life obviously was a life that was a life that was filled with consecration, dedication, and servitude to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of all of the patriarchs of the Old Testament. So it's very important to understand that in our spiritual walk with God, it's always about where we are, what is our spiritual location spiritually, and where we are as far as our relationship with God. Walking, standing, and sitting exemplifies the position of a believer in God or a believer in Christ Jesus. Where you walk, where you stand, and where you sit determines your positioning with God. And so Enoch had this powerful testimony that he was able to please God.
Amazing. Amazing. And as we read Genesis and we move right on to the other place that the scriptures talk about Enoch, which is Genesis, and you touched on that a bit, Enoch walking with God. That is a very, very prevalent point in taking a stand or having the boldness to take on that testimony as he did and be able to confidently say, I please God. It is very connected to living a life where you are completely submerged in who you are in Christ, who God is in your life, and understanding his grace.
And I think also, Sister Sybil, there's a very important statement concerning this man in Genesis 6. In 23, it says, all of the days of Enoch were 365 years. Now, in a very, very symbolical way, it suggests 365 days because it says that this man walked with God every day of his life. Mm-hmm. And he was somebody who was diligent. He was somebody who was focused. He was somebody who was reverent. And I think that many times, because we live in a dispensation of grace where our favor and our righteousness has been imputed unto us by Christ Jesus, we have a tendency to lose the importance of the labor in the vineyards of God or the labor and purpose, amen, because grace is somewhat of a free offering to us because of the greatness and the humility of Christ who gave himself for us. But it is a labor of love to be able to walk with God to the place where not pleasing him under the dispensation of legalism or the rules and regulations concerning prior dispensations under the law, but to be able to recognize that because God imputed his righteousness unto us and gave us this great grace, we should willfully and from our heart serve him through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Oh, what an excellent point. Totally agree. I look at it this way. That grace is secured, or our covenant with grace is secured by the blood of Jesus. and it's initiated by our faith.
Yes.
I love the phrase that who was it? Fred Price and a few others. I just remember him initially terming or coming up with this popular term, the God kind of love.
Yes.
The God kind of love. I would go full circle and establish the God kind of love is first with God. The scripture says that he loved us first. And then, as you mentioned, a part of our responsibility is to receive that love.
Amen.
To receive that love under the banner of grace, under the foundation that this was love that was extended toward us by Christ and his work at Calvary, that we didn't earn it.
Amen.
We don't earn to keep it, and we cannot lose it.
Amen.
And thereby we can have confidence about this God kind of love, because God kind of love originates with God. It is distributed to us. Thereby we should, again, as the sower sows the word, we receive it, and then we multiply it and spread it back unto God and then amongst us as men.
Amen. You know, you touch a very, very soft point when you talk about love. Love is the thing that, when we understand the divine love, the agape love of God, the love that as a human being coming into humanity, robed in flesh, whom Christ Jesus was, and laid out his life for all mankind. That type of love is a sacrificial type of love. It's the type of love that when we really, really understand it in its purest sense, it makes us grateful. You know, we're fortunate that we live in a dispensation of grace and truth, and we have a covenant of grace. And one of the things that the enemy wants to fight us on is the right to that love. You know, we look at ourselves in the mirror. None of us, if we are spiritually mature, will look in the mirror and see perfection. We always see something that we are striving to improve in. But when God looks at us, he sees a perfectly finished product. He declares the ending from the beginning. He is determined that we will be presented faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. And that's going to be a great day. And so what the enemy wants to do is he wants to cloud our judgment, and he wants to erroneously plant the seed in our psyche that we're not in God's love. Amen. Because if he can separate us from the love of God, he can cause us to become self-centered and focused upon our failures, our achievements, our dissatisfactions, and the things that do not necessarily come from the foundation of God loving us. Amen. So I think that love is the foundation upon which we are able to grow in grace and in the knowledge of him, we're able to move forward into spiritual maturity. Because without it, we find ourselves pedaling on a bicycle going nowhere, which is nothing more of works but works and legalism, and it's just going to take us farther away from the purity of conscience that it takes to be able to be the witnesses that God wants us to be in this world. And it's so important that we have this love and understand that that's what it's about.
That was really something, because my next thing that I wanted to deal with was being a witness. But I have to touch on that phrase that you use, which I think just puts it all in a nutshell. Purity of consciousness. God has this thing, and it is beyond description. Paul struggled to use words to describe this God kind of love, this love that in our human experiences, at times, it's hard to wrap your mind around that sacrificial love, that love that is not punitive, the love that we're yet seeking to discover it, because it is forever expanding, this the knowledge of this love and this purity and consciousness. It is, it's so wonderful, because when we pursue with an act of faith to receive this love, this act of faith activates the love that comes from God, and then it releases us from all our Adam nature.
Amen.
All our Adam works.
Amen.
All of our missing the mark, the sins.
Yes.
It takes that purity of consciousness to fully benefit from the God kind of love.
Amen. As you were speaking, the passage came to my mind that says, therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Now, when the apostle was teaching that, he was teaching that lesson to people who had been introduced to the grace of God because of his the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they struggled with responsibility toward the law. So when he talks about flesh, he's really talking about the law of carnal commandments. And many people today, unfortunately, in the body of Christ, they find their righteousness in the need to keep ordinances, rules and regulations and things of that nature. The problem with that is when you fail, you find condemnation, you see. And so it's a very, very challenged thing to be able to accept purely the imputation of righteousness that God has given to us by faith in Jesus Christ. The scriptures talk even concerning Abraham. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him as righteousness. That means it was put into his account. And as believers in Christ Jesus, when we believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the finished work of Christ and giving us the Holy Spirit, God has imputed that righteousness unto us. That righteousness can never be challenged. Now, that doesn't mean that there are times when we don't have failures and shortcomings. But when God looks at us, he looks at us as a righteous child of God. He sees us in a way that we don't see ourselves. The enemy's job is to get us to see ourselves in somewhat another fashion than God really sees us. So it's so very important that we understand that.
That's powerful. And my next question, just in your sanctified creativity, could you imagine that is the revelation that Enoch had?
Yes. Yes, Enoch walked with God. That was a very private matter. Enoch walked with God before the dispensation of the law. He didn't have a bunch of rules and regulations that governed his life. But it was something about Enoch's consecration, something about his dedication, something about his humiliation before God that made him special and unique. That, and the beauty of that is that that should be the intimacy and the private relationship that all of us as believers should strive for, is that we have this in our own confidence and in our own being because of what.
Blog Talk Radio.
That is blessing, no more stress. Now I'm knowing, and it's showing.